Welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of the Renford Books and creator of the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. This is a book, a workbook, four DVDs, 54 lessons of that you receive by email, and then 54 shows. We started this program with these 54 lessons, a very comprehensive personal development program indeed. If you're listening to the show tonight and you have someone else that wants to listen but is not online or traveling or wants to listen to the show, then have them dial 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you or if they would like to ask a question, then just press the one button on your touch tone dial and I'll bring you in for your question. And please do that. I'd love to take your calls and answer questions if I'm able to do so. My guest this evening was Norma Jean Martin, but we have been unable to get Ms. Martin on the line, and it could be some technical difficulties. We're not exactly sure what it is, but Norma Jean is an evangelist and author of From Hurt to Healing, and a very interesting lady indeed. She's an entrepreneur, a mentor, activist, motivational speaker. She's a native of Memphis, Tennessee. But she's traveled throughout the United States delivering her life-changing testimony. And so I'm going to be sure to try to get her back on the program as soon as possible and as soon as we can determine exactly what the problems were for getting her on so that we don't miss her again. I'm going to be reading shortly the Renford Revelation, which is my weekly blog, and you can also get it by going up to iam-core.org/blog. Now, iam-core.org is the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. There are free ebooks there that you can download. There's the Lightways Easing prototype that you can take. You can read about all three degree levels, what books and what courses are in those degree levels. You can visit the bookstore where all the Renford books are available and read something of the how the Institute came to be. So you are invited to do that and also to answer to these blogs or make your comments. There's a number of them up there because there's one each week, so you can peruse them and make your comments at your leisure. Tonight's Renford Revelation is called World Peace. We hear a lot of talk about world peace, and everybody wants world peace, but if there's one thing we don't have is world peace. So I want to address that subject here in this blog. Everyone claims to desire tolerance and world peace, but of course each country has conditions, and those conditions are invariably unacceptable to competing powers. The nationalism of each country precludes any cooperation except such things as trade or exchanges where the country can gain something it wants. This situation can be seen all the way down to competing businesses, religious organizations, and individuals. A mindset for peace does not exist no matter how much lip service is given. The Nobel Peace Prize is a valued honor given supposedly to those who have contributed the most to peace, from the perspective of the Nobel Prize Board. It seems to sometimes be politically motivated, and the contribution is often suspect at best. For instance, how can this great prize be given to a world leader who has taken office and could have no has not taken office and could have no impact on world peace at that point? Many notable leaders and celebrities claim that ardent desire is for world peace. Are these sentiments real, and is peace a realistic outcome from their efforts? We are unable to look on their hearts and determine how genuine the sentiment is, and we should not impugn their motives. However, a master teacher once said, "By their fruits you will know them." To stand on the street corner and proclaim your desire for peace, to march for peace, or to create great rallies for peace seems like an advanced view of the world and a worthwhile objective, but what does it accomplish? Sometimes citizens have pushed leaders to find a political accommodation or back down from their positions. In some cases, it simply meant surrender. These activities may raise awareness without any effective outlet for the actual achievement of peace. Why do people pray for peace? It sounds good and noble, but praying for peace as if it were a mantle that is dropped over two protagonists is as inane as praying for riches but disdaining to do anything to achieve wealth. Riches are the result of thinking and doing. Money is the byproduct of this action. What is not the absence of war. Peace is a byproduct of love and understanding. If you want peace, pray for love, pray for understanding. Only with love for each other and respect for life wherever human beings exist can there possibly be peace. What is peace anyway? It is not a tangible thing like food that can be delivered to the rest of the world like a grand prize, a piece of land, or a zombie-like state of no aggressive action. It is the result of something. It is the result of love and understanding. We could pray and meditate around the clock with ever-widening numbers for peace, yet not have the ingredients for peace because love and understanding are not sought. On the other hand, we could pray and meditate on love and understanding. We could devise courses of action to increase love and understanding and see an appreciable difference in the byproduct of results of these actions. The result of increased love and understanding would be experienced as peace. A practical experience of this would be the giving of love to the demonstration of understanding every day in every way we can. The voting in a free society for those who have demonstrated their commitment to love and understanding would be putting our actions where our sentiments are expressed. There is no commitment to peace without a commitment to love and understanding. The result of, the blessings of, love and understanding is peace. There's no shortcut to peace. It comes from love and understanding. When I hear people talking about peace yet demonstrating their lack of understanding as to where peace comes from, the words of the Apostle Paul begin to ring in my ears. The Apostle Paul noted, "If I speak in human and angelic tongues but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal." If one's intent is to realize world peace, the saying, "Anything the mind of man can conceive and believe he can achieve," should be held uppermost in mind. We can hold love and understanding as a believable outcome of our efforts and experience peace because it is what would come from love and understanding. The reason we establish the Core Concepts lecture series was to promote understanding of what people believe. We now have over a year, in fact, we have closer to 2 years of shows on the Renford Broadcast Network available on YouTube.com where religious and spiritual leaders have come to tell us what they believe, why they believe it, and what they're doing about it. In other words, how did they come to this belief and how is it manifesting in their lives? You can find information on almost any belief system on the internet, but Core Concepts, you will find faith you would not even have known to look for. Why is it important to understand what belief systems are out there in the world? If one is insulated by only an orthodox belief system, anything other than this belief will seem strange, barbaric, and for many, simply evil. If we understand how many of these belief systems came to be and how they parallel our beliefs, they are not so threatening. Let's face it, to kill an enemy that we dehumanize is a lot easier than another human we recognize as being a lot like us with a similar belief system and life goals. At war, the enemy is a faceless animal we have to kill. He is labeled by any number of names as subhuman and deserving of death. The sacred text says that God is love. With every action we take in support of love and understanding, we are giving packets of love. We are showing our understanding. We are giving packets of God. When this becomes the predominant attitude, it will be reflected in a free society's elected officials. It will mean that these officials will then have to find ways to reflect our attitudes to countries that are still caught up in the righteousness of killing those who do not agree with them. We will still have to find ways to demonstrate our love and understanding without surrendering the way of life that allows us to grow love and understanding. And that is my Renford revelation for this evening. I have had a number of requests from our lessons with regard to various things. Some wanted more information on the Renford affirmations, and some have requested information about mastermind groups. I want to bring in my fellow host from Little Rock, Arkansas, Reverend Robert J.V. McMillan, who has just completed his show from 7 to 8, because some of the things that I'm talking about here, I know that Robert will have input on, and I value his input. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Good evening, Jim. How are you tonight?
Well, we're just blowing and going.
Yes, we are.
Regardless of the difficulties we've had on the technical side on both shows, we still have things to say, things to talk about.
Yes, we do.
The question that I've had most recently, as I mentioned, is about mastermind groups. And I want to read you our mastermind statement. Now, this was created for Unity Christian Church, for our board, and was created with a great deal of thought. Now, if you would like this can be sent to you. You can alter it for your organization and determine for yourself how you want to go about the mastermind concept. But as you know, in the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program, we gave a great deal of time to Napoleon Hill and his book with regard to thinking, known as Think and Grow Rich. And most people think of this as a money-related book, but it's actually quite a spiritual book. He talks about all 13 of the laws, and we covered them in the 54 weeks of study. But basically, Napoleon Hill said, if you can get five people together who want the same thing, five people with varied backgrounds and skills, at least five, he's saying, who have different skills, different backgrounds, but want the same thing, one specific objective, all right, that virtually nothing can keep that group from accomplishing their objective. And we've seen this with Jesus and his apostles. We've also seen it with Hitler and his henchmen. It works either way, but it's basically the concept of a number of people with varied skills, but all focused with one objective. And so this mastermind statement may give you some idea of how you can use this with your groups and in your work. Number one, we recognize God as principle in action and the universal principles as the laws upon which all laws are based. We know these laws are as ubiquitous as the air we breathe, and we resolve to be in harmony with these laws. And number two, we recognize our pure potentiality, that thought creates form, and that without thought there can be no form. We recognize that the power is in the mastermind group and our recognition of the indwelling of the Creator in us. We believe, number three, we believe the power of the group is greater than our individualized power, and that this power comes from our recognition of this fact, our intent, and our expectation. And number four, we are ready for change. We have increased and will continue to increase our capacity to receive, knowing that we can only receive what we have the capability to receive. And five, we realize that our thoughts are creative in nature and that we can create destructively as easily as we can create constructively. We renounce fear-based thinking, and we resolve to create constructively. Number six, we forgive each other and ourselves for our mistakes and shortcomings. We move every day in every way into a progressive and creative process with excitement and expectancy for UCC. This is for Unity Christian Church. We turn this outcome over to the superconscious, the Christ consciousness, and we go forth in the knowing that what has been created in thought will be manifested. And seven, we hold one principle above all others, as did Jesus. No matter what we give of our time, wealth, or knowledge, we can only give love. It is the one gift above all others, the very essence of God, love. For us, unity is not just the name of our movement, but one of the universal laws of life we accept as truth. This confirmation of the law of absolute unity is a renunciation of duality and embraces the reality of the only power present in the universe. Number nine, we ask the membership support in seeing and believing that what we want for UCC will be achieved and that the consciousness of the church as a whole will be lifted to a level worthy of the God dwelling in each of us. Now that's, for most of you, is simply a sample, and I'm giving you the actual words for the board and what we are living by, and in the hopes that this might be a benefit to you. Do you have any comments on the mastermind statement, Robert?
Well, you know, Jim, that has been with us in our New Thought churches for some time. As a matter of fact, Jack Bolin, the late minister out of Detroit, Michigan, was known for having instituted that in the Unity Church there, and especially amongst the community of people involved with Alcoholics Anonymous. But from that point, so many people have taken the mastermind principle and those simple techniques that are applicable to everybody in any situation, regardless of whatever it is that you believe or don't believe, you have something there, you have a tool there that you can agree upon. And so I applaud you for using it in this way, and I applaud UCC Memphis for taking that time to really, really delve down deeply into each one of those and find out what it means to people independent of the group and then what it means collectively as a group consciousness, because that's the bottom line. What does it mean to me individually initially, and then what does it mean to us collectively, and then finally, how can we apply it to our lives and then to the lives of those who are within what we call our circle of influence. And does it work? You know, everything that we do, Jim, you know, I know you teach that you want to make certain that it is justifiable and then has some proof. How do you know that it is working? You have a tool to verify, as you call it, the existence of that and that it is functioning in a way that you want for it to function in your life. So I think it's awesome.
It's very interesting that there have been various forms of it, of that concept, and there's no laws that say you have to do it one way or another. Jack Bolin created a program there, as you mentioned, that was centered around the same concept as the 12-step program. Ours is a little bit differently. But here's the thing. All of these things that we do are like marketing. I'm talking about marketing all the time because we not only establish marketing programs for our authors, but we establish them for people who publish their books with other, with other publishers. The main reason that we've done this is because even some of our major traditional publishers really don't spend much time in helping the author market the book. So we really got into the process. But what is marketing? Well, marketing is testing, as Robert has just said. It's testing. And when you get through testing, you test some more. Because what works this year may not be what worked last year. Things are changing all the time. You know, that's the first law of Buddha, as a matter of fact. Everything changes, is what he said. And then he said, number two, that all our problems come from resistance to that change. So that's very hard-hitting if you think about it. All of our problems come from our resisting change. And so if we can embrace change and we can constantly be checking ourselves, checking our actions, testing what we're doing to see what works, then we're more likely to find what will work and to accomplish our objectives. The one of the things that I did in these preparations for trying to assist groups to achieve their objective is that I rephrased the Renford affirmations. Now, all of you are familiar with the affirmations that I make available that I've put into scrolls and we've had some people report some pretty phenomenal things about it. But I rephrase one: if you're thinking in terms of your organization, of your group developing, then think in terms of this mindset change. This is what the affirmations are all about. It's not for you to memorize. It's not for you to contemplate on in a cave pray or whatever it is over them. This is simply something that we state out loud for 27 days to establish a mindset change, to establish intent, to establish expectation. And I'm going to read this for you as well. And then if there's any comments, Robert, you can jump in with anything on this, because
I'm actually holding mine as well, Jim, with you. I'm holding the Renford affirmation. So if you want to go through a couple of them and then I read a couple of them, however you'd like to do it.
Well, this is I need to read it because these are rephrased for a group.
Oh,
what you have and what I've made available as the individual, what we individually need to do. To establish our mindset change, to reboot, so to speak. But this one has been slightly altered so that you can use it in a group. And all you have to do is email me, iamrenford, iamrenford, @gmail.com, and I'll get a copy of this to you for a group. I will also send you the mastermind statement that I just provided so that you've got something to work with if you are getting a mastermind group together. Now, this can be a mastermind group to develop your business. It can be a mastermind group to develop a charitable program that you want to do, a nonprofit. It can be for your church. whatever it is, where you have four or five people together who want the same thing and are want to get serious about it, then that mastermind statement can be of some assistance in this Renford Affirmations that's rephrased for a group. It reads, "We know that anything we can conceive and believe, we can achieve. Every day, ideas are coming to us. Every day, we gain more confidence because we believe in ourselves and this church or this school or this business, whatever you're developing. God dwells in us, and we can access God power by recognizing our innate powers." And this, if you remember, we went through the in the Napoleon Hill in the Think and Grow Rich book. That was one of his favorite phrases: "Anything the mind of man can conceive and believe, we can achieve." Why do you think that is? I mean, if you have an idea and you believe that idea and you work toward that idea, you've already created it in thought. The creation portion of it is actually in the thought. Thought creates form, and without thought there can be no form. And then the second paragraph, "We know that there are certain universal principles or laws upon which all laws, including the laws of physics, rest. We are persistent in our identification of these laws in our lives. We are using our innate powers," that's our indwelling, the inner man, the indwelling of God in man. We are using these powers to come into harmony with these laws of life. I made this statement because sometimes people begin only, and when they begin to kind of halfway understand the universal laws, we begin to talk about using the universal laws. We don't use the universal laws. We come into harmony with the laws. It's like the law of gravity, all right? You come into harmony with it, or you suffer the consequences. That's just the way it is. That's the law, all right? "We know that these laws are the divine self-expression, and that through understanding them in our life experiences, we can be still and know God. We see all problems as challenges that simply require a learning process. We love them because they exist in divine love for our benefit. You don't want my problems. I don't want your problems. Our problems we've drawn to ourselves because there's something we need to learn. We need to appreciate those problems as being our school and our tool. We understand that proper perspective is necessary to begin any work, and we are daily developing the capability to view our lives in proper perspective. The essence of God is in us, and we are pure potentiality. Every thought we have creates. We are aware that we can create destructively as easily as we can create constructively. Therefore, our every thought is observed as if we were outside looking in. Negative and fearful thoughts are immediately apprehended and brought into the light from the dark corners and hidden caverns of our mind. In their place, creative and constructive thoughts are building the edifice of self-knowledge and understanding, which is our birthright." Now, I read down there four paragraphs. I want to give just a moment of thought for Robert to see if we have any comments there.
Well, you know, the interesting opportunity that exists in all of those is bringing in that particular case what you've done, Jim, is to bring in we, us. This is ours. So therefore, we are not alone. We don't have to do this thing by ourselves. And whenever it is that we are challenged by anything, to know that we are not alone and that there is somebody else who has our back, somebody else that is caring and concerned for our welfare relative to that particular situation, and somebody that we can talk to about it. So I think the group consciousness that is formed with this type of opportunity is something that we certainly want for the people to know about. And because of the fact that you all had at UCC were talking about it, and the way that you have now put it together is from the collective we, and therefore the us, what is in it for not me, but what is in it for us collectively, as well as what is in it for me. Because certainly when you're talking about something in this way, spiritually, if I benefit as one benefits, all benefit. And I think that people need to really be aware that of the importance of knowing that when you can get with a group and have the group agree on any one thing, as the ascended master, Jesus the Christ, said, where one or two or three shall touch in my name, meaning my nature, there shall I be in the midst, meaning that I will approve, I will go along with, I will support you all in making this happen. Then now all of a sudden you don't have to do it by yourself. You've got that collective consciousness of the group that is undergirding you, that is supporting you, that has your back. And so it's always good, Jim, I think, to know that somebody is there with you, and that other people are going through some things as well, and that you are willing to be there for them. And then when you go back over all of those statements that you just read individually, you're able to acknowledge and stop at one that might perhaps be giving you some challenge. Let's just take the one that says, we know that there are no limits upon the abundance that is available to us. So therefore, if I also know at this particular time that my bank account is empty, but I can say, you know what, collectively, though, I am part of a group that is about the business of doing something with other people, and therefore I don't just have a nickel. If it's 10 people, I may have 10 nickels. I may have $10. But whatever it is that I have, we have it collectively. So that's the advantage of your putting things together in this way, so that then people can appreciate it, I think, from that perspective.
Well, go ahead and continue with that. You're doing fine. We are releasing.
Well, we are releasing. Okay. As we, you know, first of all, why do we want to release? Why do we want to let go? Well, number one, when we think about it, some of us have been holding on to some things for much too long anyway. Everybody else knows it but us. And then finally, we acknowledge that we need to let go of, we need to release that situation, we need to release that circumstance. In some instances, we need to release that person, especially for a parent who is holding on to a wayward child and has not been able to fully say, okay, Spirit, I let you have this child. This is your child. This was your child before it became my child. So therefore, this is our child. And the best thing for me to do at this point, in so much as I have already done everything that I could possibly do to make this situation better for this child, I have done everything that I could possibly do to help him or her to see the light, and yet they still don't seem to get it, don't want to do that which I am suggesting to them to do, that I need to let go and let God. So in the releasing of that, I can feel okay with it. I can say I have done all, we have done all that we collectively or individually could do, and now I feel okay, because when I say to my child, listen, I see the God force that is within you, and you are God's child. You were God's child before you became my child. And so now I willingly let you go to Spirit, and I see you're being blessed in wonder-filled ways according to your level of understanding and however it is that you choose to receive at this particular moment. So now we've taken the crux off of ourselves, because for parents, and I know I'm a parent, I've had wayward children, I've had challenges and opportunities that I could not help my kid to understand what he or she was doing, and I knew that they were going down a path that was not best for them. But when I was finally able to say, okay, in my little statement, I say, I-L-G-H-I, I let God handle it as I pray and move my feet in the direction that Spirit is guiding my steps. And I do that for you as well. So the releasing part, Jim, is to let go and let God, and to trust Spirit. See, that's the other thing that comes in to play with the releasing part. In order to release, you have to believe, you have to trust that Spirit has your back. And then when you release, you are letting go fully. You don't let go halfway. You know, you don't throw it out there and then pull half of the rope back. No, you throw it out there, you let it go, and you know that whatever it is that comes after this will be for my good and the good of anyone that is part of this circle of influence.
And what you have enunciated there and expressed very clearly is the law of believing and knowing. You know, sometimes we have a problem and we worry it to death like a dog a bone. And we repeat it in our affirmations, and we pray about it constantly. But the fact is that if we have created it in thought, it's created. It's been created, all right? And we now need to leave it alone, because mm-hmm. we absolutely know that what we create in thought will be made manifest. And mm-hmm. and that's really expressing that confidence, that expectation that you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's right, that's right. But what we don't know, Jim, is what our kid is going to do now. You see, that's that variable. But the releasing part of it is trusting Spirit to handle it, to know that this is God's child as well, and that we all come fully prepared with everything that we need to survive. And that if we, sometimes the thing that has to be done is that we have to let go. And then in letting go, then that child or that friend or that coworker or that spouse then learns the lesson that he or she needs to learn in order to then move forward and not do that anymore. Sometimes I think we are blocking others' blessings and blocking their opportunities to move forward by not allowing them to learn the lesson that needs to be learned there.
So we are releasing all thoughts that restrict or limit us. And when we keep on holding on to a situation and trying to force it into a particular pattern, we're certainly not allowing the Creator to create, are we?
No, we're not. But you know what we are, Jim? We are creatures of habit. And someone once said that old habits die hard, and for some people, it takes lifetime after lifetime after lifetime for them to finally let go. But again, I think that comes down to the trust factor. And the trust factor, I think, comes from being able to know experientially. That is, having experienced things in such a way that we then turn it over to Spirit, universal and personal principle, the God force, however it is that you choose to name it, to call it, letting it go in such a way and with such force that you trust that this is the best thing that needs to be done now, because that has been the prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Ascended Masters, help me to understand what it is that is mine to do. Help me to release if that is what I need to do, to let go. Help me if I need to offer more wisdom, more direction, more guidance. to know that is that. And then after we have prayed that prayer, then we need to get back up off of it, let it go, and do that which then comes to us to do. And that is the releasing part of it and the trusting part of it. We have to trust Spirit enough. And it's somebody once said that it is so unfortunate that wisdom does not seem to come initially to the youth. You know, all of us have gone through situations and circumstances in our lives and watched others coming behind us go through those same types of things after we had shared with them that this was going to be the outcome. And so, but it's okay. It has to be okay for each and every person to learn the lesson that they need to learn in the way that they need to learn it. And for us to, when necessary, move out of the way, or for us to do that which we need to do. But once we ask, and this is where I think another thing that I use a lot, Jim, called spiritual awareness. I now am trying to remember minute by minute, moment by moment, that spiritual awareness is the key. And so whenever it is that I'm in a situation, I say, okay, what is the lesson that I need to learn right here? What is it that is mine to do? Especially if it's something that seems to be a little challenging to me or to other people, or if other people seem to be challenging me about something. I say, what is the lesson that is in this moment for me to learn? What is the lesson in this moment for this person to learn? Not that I am trying to usurp their authority, not that I am trying to show up as me instead of showing up as God within me. I am just wanting to know. And then once that answer comes, Jim, then I go in that direction. And every time I do that, it works out. The score is always God 10, Robert J. Lee McMillan 0.
You mentioned the experience while ago, or wisdom and the youth. And it seems as even though we may have a lot of experiences, sometimes we don't use that spiritual awareness to benefit by that experience. But at the same time, without that experience, it's hard to gain wisdom. I mean, it comes as part and parcel of it. And I think a lot of it has to do with coming to recognize our primary purpose, our purpose for being here. A lot of times we think that minding other people's business and taking care of children is the only or is our primary purpose, but if we provide that release that Robert just mentioned, we may find that primary purpose sitting there right in front of us, and it become our realization that we have certain things that we need to do. These assets and attributes are daily being placed on the infrastructure that we have created in thought. We are manifesting what we have imaged in thought. I'll read another one and we can comment. We know that we are not alone, but part of the absolute unity of all. We know that every action has a reaction. We know that all is connected. Therefore, there are always consequences of our thoughts, attitudes, and actions. We observe this and daily create an ever-expanding positive force. And I think you've actually spoken to that in some of your comments already, Robert.
Yeah, the thing that comes to mind is that statement in the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran and the Kabbalah, all of the world's Bibles, Jim, that asks the question, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer comes back, yes, you are. There is that which is yours to do in order to support him or her when they have asked you to be supported. Now, we don't have to go running up to help anybody or to share our wisdom with them, but when we recognize that a situation is such and people indicate through just sometimes people can just look at you and you know they need help. sometimes they can just say certain things in certain ways, and you ask the question, well, may I be of assistance? And they say, oh, thank you. Yes, absolutely. What took you so long to ask the question? And so when we are spiritually aware, Jim, when we are focusing on our Christ nature, on our God self that is within, on the Om presence, then we are also constantly listening. There's a little statement that is available in one of the prayers that we used to say in the Northeast, and it says, our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. Our thoughts are prayers, be careful what you are saying. Seek a higher consciousness, a state of peacefulness, and know that God is always there, and every thought becomes a prayer. Wow. Well, now that's something, isn't it? You mean every thought that I am thinking becomes a prayer. It becomes something that I am saying I want. Well, do I want everything that I am thinking? Oh, Lord, no. No, I do not. But then if I start watching my thoughts and making certain that the things that I think about are more of the good things of life, and listen, folks, I'm not saying I got this one down, okay? do as I say, not as I am doing. Might be the forte in this particular might be the way to go. But here's what we're doing: we're remembering, and each day we do a little bit more. Each time that we come into a situation where it seems that somebody might need a little help, a little support along the way, where if we reach over and push a cart for a senior citizen, that might be helpful to them. That might let them know that somebody cares and is willing to help them to move forward in some way. So I think that the application of these principles in our daily lives, Jim, is really the whole key. And then to come back to what you were talking about initially tonight with the Renford affirmations, is a collective consciousness of the we, that we are doing this thing together. We are in this together, and we have the support of each other.
You know, Robert, do you think that we're often just far too timid in our demands of ourselves and of God? I mean, we sometimes act as if we are afraid God's going to slap us down because we want a particular thing, or that we're going to be laughed at because we've got a very strong and affirmative or bold thing that we're trying to accomplish and do. That is a feeling that I have often.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I certainly agree with that, Jim. And I think that we don't believe that we can have a lot of things. But that's the reason to do small things at first. That's the reason that we start not with asking for a 10,000 square foot home, but we start with maybe asking for a larger apartment. We affirm, we see ourselves in a larger apartment, because maybe our mindset right now, where it is that we are, would laugh us right out of that if we tried to put too much in it. So I think that oftentimes we have not because we ask not, but we ask not because we don't believe what we are saying. Now, we believe that that's true for somebody else. You know, I'll believe that you can have it, but I won't necessarily believe that I can have it. I said, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, Jim could have, God would do that for Jim. So well, what about you? Oh, Robert J.V.? Oh, well, no. God. But then here's the caveat to that, Jim, and here's the answer. I tell my kids, come to me with a solution as well as a problem. It may not be the right solution, but come to me with your solution so that then we can talk about that, because that then tells me that you've thought about this thing, that you have given it some thought, that you have even possibly prayed over it or affirmed it in some way that then allows for universal impersonal principle to support you in coming up with something. And then I will share with you whatever it is that I am feeling about this situation. And maybe together then we massage it and we kick it and we turn it over and we pick it up and we put something else on top of it, and all of a sudden we have what it is that we need to move forward with. And so I think, Jim, what we the real deal to the situation is that we oftentimes have not learned to trust enough just yet, because the more that we allow God to work in our lives, the more the Spirit will work in our lives, and the more things that we will have, the more that we can do, and the more people will be touched by us individually and collectively.
I want to read the last two points in here, and then we can comment on that. And they remind me a little bit of the Star Trek thing, to boldly go where no one has gone before. Boldly. To boldly strike out to create, to accomplish our what we feel is our purpose. And how would one say that? It's like this. We know where we are, who and what we are, and what we're capable of. We know that our capacity for energetic activity, creative thought, and love are endless, and that our energy supplier, universal being, is infinite. Then you can be bold, all right? We take responsibility for what we have and will create. We know that what we create in thought and give the power of emotion to will be manifested. We are in every way creating our lives. That's boldly going where the timid are often afraid to go. But we see
right.
that those things that are created by people who do this.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. You have to have that tenacity. You have to have what the older religionists would call holy boldness, meaning to step forward in your faith and to trust your faith. Now, I think the other part of that, though, is that oftentimes people had what folk called a zeal, but not according to knowledge, not according to spiritual knowledge, not according to the wisdom of the times. And sometimes people were just ahead of their times. There are things that are happening right now that people are doing and that are wonderful, but they're just a little bit ahead of their times. And if they will hold on, then they will see the fruits of their labor. But I think what you are addressing here is a great point for us, Jim, to know that once we step forth in that holy boldness and in that space continuum of trusting spirit and allowing for that energy of love and light and goodness and grace to guide us, and knowing that the light will come forth and that the darkness will go away, it will dissipate into the nothingness from which it came, then we are free to move forward. And so the freedom to be able to know who it is that Spirit is what it's all about.
Now, we might talk a little bit about our objectives, yours and mine, Robert, our objectives in developing the Center of Revelation concept.
Yep.
We would like to help you with your group. Most of the people who have graduated from the Institute of Applied Metaphysics and who have received ordination from the Church of Revelation have gone on to create their own ministries. This is not something that is done in order to necessarily build the organization. I mean, we would love to have some people continue to work with us, but we are much more interested in fostering the development of your objectives and your goals and making this as a process that you can achieve those objectives. We would like to work with organizations who are trying to develop, and we're not going to come in and do your work for you, but I think that we can bring to the table some things like the mastermind group, the affirmations and other things, and consultation from our experience in how you can develop the organization that you're creating. Do you have any comments or thoughts on that, Robert?
Absolutely. Well, with all of the books that are available under the Renford program and with the Laws of Material Wealth programs and other things that we have at our immediate disposal, what we are excited about is sharing that with people who want to have an organization that then supports them in creating whatever it is that they want to do in the way that they want to do it. We don't want to get in your way. We just want to be able to help you to achieve your goal. And with like-minded organizations, like-minded people, people who recognize that there is another way to do what they're doing, but they just can't quite figure out what it is. You know, it's that itch, you know, and you know that you need to scratch it, okay? So what we're trying to do is to provide the ointment. We're trying to share with you that we have a healing balm, a methodology, a way of allowing you to do that which you are wanting to do, but from a supportive way that will give you and undergird all of the things that you are trying to do and give you the basics and the basis to move from where it is that you are to where you want to be at your own rate. See, that's the other thing that's really key, we think, about what it is that we're doing with the Center of Revelation. We are wanting for that to be an impetus where if you are ready to go from the first to the third grade, then boom, we will take you there. If you're ready to go from the first to the 12th, fine, we will take you there. If you say, I only want to go in a year, we can make that happen. If you say, I want to go in 5 years, we can support you there as well. So it's always been wonderful for me to know that people were supporting me at my own level or rate of growth. And so that then took the pressure off for me because I knew that if I moved forward and things fell into place for me a little faster than I thought they might, then boom, we can move forward even quicker than we could have before. Or if maybe I needed to slow down for a moment. As the commercial says, life comes at you fast, and it does. And there are times when we need to step back. We may need to support our family members. We may need to do something on a job, whatever it might be. Then we are willing to help you to do that which is necessary in order to get wherever it is that you're going. And we've been at this for so long that we have those types of tools already that are available for you. And we have people that have probably gone through some of what it is that you're going through. And that always helps a lot, doesn't it, Jim, to have somebody that knows what's going on.
If you would like to inquire about the Center of Revelation and about assistance with developing your organization, you can email Robert J.V. McMillan. Give your email address.
Certainly, robtmcm@aol.com. Again, that's R-O-B as in boy, T as in Tom, mcm@aol.com. We welcome any inquiries that you might have. We welcome the ability to support you in that way.
And you can email me, I am Renford, I-A-M-R-E-N-F-O-R-D, @gmail.com. Don't forget to go up and take a look, peruse the IAM-COR.org, the virtual campus of the Institute, and check out the blog at the same address, IAM-COR.org/blog. Go to YouTube, type in Renford Broadcast Network, and see some of the shows that we have available, and, of course, to blogtalkradio.com/Renford to view or to listen to some of our great shows, 11 shows per week. Thank you, Robert, for being with me tonight, and thank
My
you
pleasure.
All for being with us. And be with us next week at the same time, 8:30, for the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Have a good evening.
Good evening.